lives, or who have served in any type of strife or military service in the last century or so, behind why we remember. They've all been part of a larger, greater mission. Some have had small tasks, and some have had larger tasks, but they've all been part of something for others. And there's a man by the name of John McCrae, who in 1915 captured the heart of what it means to sacrifice and serve in a poem called In Flanders Fields.
In Flanders fields the poppies bloom. Between the crosses row on row that mark our place. And in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die. We shall not sleep, though poppies grow. In Flanders fields.
We use a term for those who take part in the military. We call it service. Service requires sacrifice, and sacrifice is wholly and completely about what I can do for someone else. So today I'm not going to draw the conclusion that serving here at Country Hills is anywhere close to the same kind of sacrifice that other men and women have had to lay down their lives for a great mission, for a great deal of importance, to save and rescue those who couldn't do it for themselves. But I do want to suggest this morning, as we look at serving, as we look at service this morning as part of our practices of the way of Jesus, I do want to suggest that our mission, that our calling as the church, not just Country Hills Church, but the church, is just as important. Because if we believe that we live in a world where there will be people, men, women, children, regardless of race, socioeconomic upbringing, opportunity, who if they do not discover Jesus, if they do not decide to believe in Jesus, if they do not know him and follow him, will be separated from God forever. If we really believe that's true, then I think that there is a great level of importance to what we do as a church. Because as the men and women who served in specifically the world wars, some who had seemingly smaller tasks, some greater, all worked together towards something they believed in, I think we have something to believe in that's just as great. The sacrifice is different. So please don't say, oh, our pastor said it's just as great a sacrifice. There are those in our world, we just prayed for the persecuted church last week, who in our world today, to serve Jesus, to introduce others to Jesus, do lay down their lives. We don't have that in Canada. But I think that our mission is just as important. So serving is one of the practices of the ways of Jesus because it's built into our DNA. It's actually part of our identity in Christ. So when we decide to follow Jesus, we decide to follow him through not only where he leads us in our calling, but his example. And his example is one of sacrificial service. So most people who are part of Country Hills Church serve somewhere, in the church or outside. There are some who don't yet. But there's this reality that happens, I think more specifically in the North American, Canadian church context, where even though a large majority of people serve, somewhere inside the church or outside, there's still a small percentage who do the largest percentage of work. Where when we put a call out to make a meal or, you know, come help at the church, or we need more volunteers for this, or there's someone who's sick and needy, there's a need. It's the same people who do it. They've caught on to something deep. They've understood their walk with Jesus and the call to sacrificial service in a different way. I believe in the mission Jesus has given us as a church. I believe in the mission he's given me. I believe that I have a part of what we have a part in the global church and in God's plan for the whole world. We each have our own part. I give my life to it, and so do many here. But what I want to do today is just to get you to do one thing, just one thing. So those who aren't serving, to get you to start serving. And those who are serving, to try and even out what we do together. And here's why. I think that when we all don't do our part, we're less likely to accomplish what Jesus has given us. He's called us a body, and he's called us to this together. No one person is more important than another. Some people throughout our church history seem like greater heroes than others. But that's just because their unique calling and their unique journey might seem like it is a bit more important, but it's not. Each one of you sitting here today, each person watching online, each person who's not able to gather this morning, has an important and unique part in what God has called us to do. And since Jesus sacrificed his life for us, he calls us to the same thing. Let me give you an example, just one thing here, of why I think that sometimes there's an imbalance of lots of people serving, but a small percentage doing the largest percentage of the work. I'm just going to talk about children's ministry just for a minute. If you didn't notice and you look around, the seats are kind of empty, right? We got a lot of kids here. We average 65 kids a week from September till now. On any given Sunday, we have between 50 and 80 kids downstairs. So in order to handle that many kids and to bless them and teach them the best way we know how, we need a minimum of 17 volunteers. In fact, 17 approved adult volunteers. That's 16 people are age 16 and above. If we have just 17, that means we still have room to grow. But even with only requiring 17 people, and even though we have a large number of our own people serving in children's ministry, most Sundays we don't have enough. Most Sundays we don't have enough. In a time when we gather, where there's usually between 100 and 150 adults gathered. And so there are people who serve, listen to this, between 6 and 7 weeks out of 8. There are people who come here, and while we're up here enjoying, this sounds like a guilt trip, but hang with me, okay? They're downstairs 6 or 7 weeks out of 8. I've promised them I won't do that to them, but we don't know what else to do. Because here's what they do. When they're doing that, they're engaged in teaching our kids in a way that they understand. But as a church, we're multi-generational. We think it's important to all gather together for part of our service. And then for the teaching, to have some time up here where teens and adults can have it in a way that we best connect with and our kids have it in a way that they best connect with. And the volunteers who are doing the bulk of the work downstairs, they're doing two things for us. Not only are they putting kids first and blessing them and building into them so they can discover and follow Jesus, they're making it possible for us to do that too. And so I just want to say thank you to them and want to acknowledge that there is some imbalance here. And as a pastor, I think we are called to something better. And so if you're tempted to have a little bit of guilt trip this morning, or, you know, like, man, I regret coming. This guy's hard. Just hang with me for a moment. But I found something, a blog this week that I want to read you a piece of. But Jesus had the same problem. See, Jesus just said it in different words in us. He was speaking to farmers, and here's what he said. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. So if Jesus had the problem, we'll probably have the problem too, but it doesn't need to be that way. What Jesus was saying is there's that many people who need ministry, many people who are hungry to know Jesus. I just talked about our kids' ministry. It's all sorts of other stuff I could have talked about. But there's few people who are willing to serve sacrificially. Serving sacrificially is a little bit different than just volunteering. So this blog I came on this week expresses well, I think, the problem of many churches, and I think in pockets, ours too. Many Christians have come to Christ but remain dedicated to a life lived for themselves. Jesus fits neatly into a certain segment of their lives. Jesus is often adored for the benefits that he brings to their lives, but not worshipped and obeyed in a to-die-for kind of way. So many come to Jesus in order to get their best life now, but they are often deeply disappointed when God does not bow to their agenda or measure up to their definition of success, which is just basically the enjoyment of all the world has to offer without Jesus cramping their style. Are we sacrificial people? Do we serve God until it hurts, or do we only serve him to the point that it fits neatly into our schedules? Are we fearful of overdoing it, or do our lives demonstrate sacrifice? Have we tamed our God? Have we politely put him on a leash? Have we domesticated him and softened the call to radical discipleship? That's a tough word. So some of you are sitting there thinking, not me, and be quiet. I don't want this. I don't want this either. But I think there's a call to service that we've missed. And often as I've talked about service and as it's really important to us. In fact, even just within what we believe God has called us to do in our own unique way here in Country Hills, when we gather, we try and do three things really well. Connect, grow, and serve. Because we need to be connected in order to grow spiritually. We need one another. And we need to be growing spiritually, and we need to be serving one another and serving the world around us. So serving is a real big part, but often when I talk about service, I try and talk about the benefits. It's good for you. It's great for you. You should be serving. It's a wonderful thing. There's blessing in it, but I think sometimes we miss the fact that sometimes serving is just straight up sacrifice. Now last week, I talked about the need for Sabbath rest and all these weights and expectations that are on us, and this morning I don't want to place another weight or expectation on you. What I want to do is call you to something deeper. My real hope is if you're not serving, you'd start serving. And if you are serving, you'd consider how we can all do our part so that we're not burning out a few and so that we can actually do the more that God has us to do. I think God wants to do more through us. I think there's more people to reach. I think there's people that you and I and we know that haven't discovered Jesus yet. I think there'll be a day that if we don't do some of these things now, we'll have a bit of shame and we'll have a bit of guilt because there are some people who need Jesus and there are some things we could have done about it. You see, our salvation isn't about us. It's not about me. I didn't get saved for me and the blessings that come my way. There's blessings, but it's not about me. Sometimes we forget that. Paul said it this way, Ephesians 2. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. So God did all the work of grace. He did all the work necessary to make us right with him, bring us back into relationship with him. Verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none can boast about it. We don't do good things to earn grace or earn salvation. No, we do good things because he's already been gracious. In fact, the thing that we do is through faith. We believe, we receive, we follow through our faith. We put feet to our faith and our belief because God has done the work. Verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. God is crazy about you. God loves you exactly as you are today. He created you. He designed you with purpose. You're his masterpiece. You're the pinnacle of his creation. Doesn't matter if you feel that way today, you are. Let me tell you that again. He is nuts about you. He loves you exactly how you are. He has built you a certain way, designed you a certain way, but he's done it for a purpose. We are God's masterpiece. He's created us new in Christ. He's gotten rid of the old and gives us new life. Why? So we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. He wants to be clear. This isn't about earning your salvation. Go to church and you get good gold stars. Do enough good deeds and maybe you'll get in. None of us get in on those merits at all. In fact, all of this is not about getting into heaven. If you've heard that, it's wrong. Heaven is just a blessing and reward, a continuation of what he's doing in our life now. But he has something for us to do. My salvation isn't about me. My salvation is about others. So it begs the question. We need to be asking ourselves this question. What good things does he have in store for me to do? What good things does he have in store for me to do? It's a big question. Let's consider this. Jesus Christ died to save us, but he also saved us to die. What are you giving your life to? Let me say that again. Maybe you don't understand that. Jesus Christ died to save us, but he also saved us to die. To die to what? To die to ourselves, our plans, our selfishness, our old life, so we might come alive to his plan for us, which isn't about me and my satisfaction and happiness. Absolutely, when I live sacrificially, there is blessing. Some of you came to prayer for the persecuted church last Sunday night. We watched a video where a man, what country was he from? He wasn't from Nigeria. I don't even remember. It was the other one. Pakistan. And he said, I was so happy when I was being persecuted. What? That I was counted blessed. That I've given my life to this. He was offered safety to leave and be rescued. And he said, no, I have to stay. My people, they need me. It wasn't for himself. He understood something we don't. Jesus died to save us, but he saved us to die. He calls us to come and die. Take up a cross and follow him. God has an individual plan for your life, but it's connected into the plan he has for everyone else. We are connected. Peter said it this way. Peter, the guy who walked with Jesus and was fiery and denied him and then came back and led the church. He says this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. God has this unending variety of spiritual gifts. You're unique. You have some spiritual gifts. You have some things God has planted in you that only you can do in his power, and only you can do. Use them well to serve one another. There's this pattern throughout Scripture, and sometimes we try and fight it. Sometimes it seems self-focused, but there's a pattern in Scripture that goes something like this. We are called to serve one another and love one another first. But that is not the end. It's so that we learn to serve and love others. We learn here, we do it with each other first so that we can do it in the rest of our lives. Paul said it this way, Ephesians 4. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Don't miss this verse. It's really, really important verse. He makes the whole body, all of us, fit together perfectly. How does he do that? As each part does its own special work. So when we're not doing our own special work, the thing that God has called you to that only you can do because you're his masterpiece and he's crazy about you and he sent his son to die for you and unleash you on a world that can't handle you serving Jesus. When you do that, that's when we're knit together perfectly. It helps the other parts grow. How do we grow spiritually? How do we move past some of the silly things we get caught up in? We start to serve one another and work together. And as we do that, we serve together others outside. It helps the other parts grow. People helping people follow Jesus, that's our mission statement. That's how we do it. One of the ways we do that is we serve beside, alongside, and we serve one another. When we do that, it helps the other parts grow. That's how we grow. And then the whole body is healthy. Want to be healthy? We all got to pick it up. We got to do this together. And we'll be growing and we'll be full of love. Love doesn't just happen for a person beside you sitting in an ugly pink chair. They're ugly. Let's be honest, okay? It doesn't happen just sitting beside some other person a couple times a month. It happens when you get your hands dirty alongside them doing something you don't want to do. I think we forgot that. Sometimes when we serve, we do stuff we don't want to do. Think about Jesus. The night he was betrayed, how did he spend his last moments? In agonizing prayer. He said, Father, if there's any other way, I don't want to do this, I don't want to go to the cross. It's difficult. It's hard. You've given me a hard calling, but because I love you and because I love them, I will do it. I'll submit to your will, Father. There's a lot of things we do here that we don't want to do. Community cleanup, fixing the church, changing diapers, taming a room full of grade 4 boys, cooking a meal, sending a card, spending our Saturday morning doing something other than walking around in our pajamas sipping coffee. There's lots of stuff that we do here that we don't want to do. My commitment as a pastor is to ask us to do things that matter, not things that don't matter. You'll notice, we don't have a lot of programming here. I don't know if you noticed that. We don't have like a midweek kids program, and we don't have drop-ins and food banks and a whole bunch of other stuff we used to have. We don't have those. In part because we don't have volunteers to do it, and in part because we're trying to do the most important things first and then allow God to birth out of us heart for our community and others. Jesus died to save us, but he also saved us to die. What are you giving your life to? What are you sacrificing? When we serve sacrificially here, guess what? We're going to serve sacrificially out there. And there are a number of people, listen to me, there are a number of people here who already get it, who are already doing that. But there's a whole bunch of others that I'm calling you to something greater because God has other things for us. You matter, even if you think you don't. You matter. You matter. Let me read you an ad from an English paper. Men wanted for hazardous journey. Small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition if we succeed. That was put in a paper by Sir Ernest Shackleton, and thousands responded. He was an Antarctic explorer. Thousands responded. Why? Because he made the call high. People want to lay their lives down for something bigger than themselves, and we have the highest calling. If we really believe the gospel is true, we absolutely do. Are you serving somewhere? Are you serving sacrificially? Is it increasing your heart for Jesus? Are you learning to put others first? That's what sacrificial service is about. It's not about the nursery or the kids or the chairs or the building or any of this stuff. It's about others. So we serve one another. We make meals for people who are sick. We write cards. We staff downstairs for kids. We spend time on youth retreats. We do all of these things that we don't want to do because there's something greater. Because you have something that only you can do. And someone else needs you. This guy by the name of Matthew, he wrote a gospel. What is a gospel? Well, it's a book that's written to put down on paper what Jesus did. See, because the early church, they just had these verbal traditions, and Matthew was one of Jesus' disciples, and he wanted to put down an account so that others could actually know. No room for guesswork or lies or false stories. Matthew was dramatically changed by Jesus. Matthew, being a Jewish man, was a tax collector. Now, maybe you don't get what that is, but Matthew, as a Jewish man, collected taxes from his own people and gave them to the Romans who had overthrown them. And in the process, he made his salary off of taking a cut off the top and whatever the Romans paid him. He lived well. He lived large. He had everything he ever wanted. Lots of friends, but he was despised by his people. And when Jesus walked past his tax collecting booth, and his Jewish name was Levi, he dropped everything and followed Jesus. And here's what he records in his book, in his gospel. This is one of the things he remembers, maybe one of the things he remembers most about what Jesus taught. It changed his life. Matthew 10, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it. He gave up his life. In fact, the day he decided to follow Jesus, he threw a big lavish banquet at his house. Tons of tax collectors and disreputable sinners joined him. Huge feast. He had all the money, all the stuff he could ever want. Probably more and better than any of us have here. And he gave it all away. And he says, man, if you just would follow Jesus, if you give up your life for Jesus, you'll find it. You cling to it. You cling to your time and your energy and your money and your gifts and what you can give. Look, I'm not asking you to burn yourself out. That's what I'm trying to keep us from. There are people here who every time we ask, I could write down a list. I know who's going to answer the call. And they do it every time, and it's awesome. But there are more. There is more to do. There's a greater call. There are people who need to know Jesus, and they need to know Jesus through you. What are you giving your life to? What are you giving your life to? So today, we're remembering the sacrifice of those who gave their life for others. Those who didn't lose their lives, lost maybe years of their life, lost relationships, lost time, lost money. Maybe they lost their health, and there are those who lost their lives. They sacrificed to something they believed in. I believe in what God has called us here. And though the sacrifice is not the same, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to defame Remembrance Day and draw some sort of sermon out of that. And it's important that we remember. But I do want us to consider that our call and our mission is just as important. And as a church, I think there are pockets that are doing so well, pockets of people. And I think as a church as a whole, there's a lot of people engaged in a lot of stuff. But I think that God's calling us to sacrifice. Sometimes that means more. Sometimes that just means differently. You can't add something unless you subtract something. You can't do that. So I'm not asking you to, give your family up and never spend time with them. But what I am asking you to do is consider, what has God gifted you? What is he calling you to? Where can you sacrifice? Today, this day, marks the 100th year anniversary since the armistice was signed. The Peace Act was signed in World War I, November 11th, 1918. Following that, it was decided that on the 11th day of the 11th month, at the 11th hour, we would remember those who have sacrificed. And so in a few moments, we're going to have a moment of silence to remember. I encourage you to pray during that time. Pray for those who've lost family members. Pray for those who are still in active service today, giving up their lives sacrificially for the good of others. It doesn't matter if you believe in military stuff or not. It's not about that. It's not about that. But would you take a moment of silence and just pray in that moment? Pray for peace. We want that. And following that, so just so you know, we're gonna listen to the last call, and then there'll be a moment of silence followed by another bugle call. And after that, I'm gonna invite the team up, and we're gonna partake in communion. We're gonna spend time remembering what God has done for us in our country. I don't know if you caught in Flanders Fields the pictures of the way life was then, and what we have now. It's a pretty powerful picture. So we need to be thankful. We need to thank God for that. But we need to pray on behalf of those who don't have that. And so we remember that. But following that, we're going to remember something I think much more important. Something that touches all people regardless of what they've been through, where they live, how old, their race. We all need Jesus, and Jesus sacrificed his life. And because he died, he calls you to come and die too. So let's take a moment of silence.